Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Once more, let me just apologize. I didn't have last year because of the scheduling problem. But I'm happy that the senior officials are here to give you the annual report, and I think in the presentation they also give what they've done to correct some of the issues which are raised. But my sense is that there is some improvement in the performance of the department. There are a few areas where we're not performing well. And they highlight those areas and what were the challenges. But I think we have infrastructure and some areas in the administration branch. And they will be able to give, but they appear to answer any questions when it is appropriate to do so.
Thank you,
Mr. Sobhan.
So
that
you were taking some time.
I'm here
for my friend. And then we can go to the politics
outside. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Omega Shenembe. I'm the Deputy DG responsible for SOB oversight.
Good afternoon, Honorable Members, Chair. My name is James Hasebe, Chief Audit Executive of DGPS.
Good afternoon, Honorable Members. My name is Tulina Mimi, the DG for Administration.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Malaise Masamola. I'm the acting DDG responsible for ICT policy development in the DTPS.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Inigo Gobin. I'm the DDG for ICT infrastructure.
Good day, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Farhad Osman, the Chief Director of Strategic Planning and Monitoring of the Department.
Good afternoon, Honorable Members. My name is Ogadam Zebo from the
Good afternoon, Honorable Members. My name is Ria Kosa from the Ministry.
Good afternoon. My name is Pamela Mbisi. I am the Company Secretary.
Good day, everyone. My name is Moskati. I'm the Company Secretary of the
Company. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Can we deal with the policies? I received a policy from Honorable Smith, Dr. Stafni, and also from the Deputy Minister. Thank you, those other colleagues. Can we start with our meeting? Over to you.
Once again, thanks for this opportunity, Chairperson, members, and Honorable Minister. We are here once again to account to ourselves. We indicated even previously that we take the work very seriously and that accountability is part of what we are supposed to do as a department. Now, the table of contents of what we are going to present is indicated on page 2, as you have seen, and we're starting with the Auditor General's audit outcomes, findings in the 2016-17 audit report, key findings in the 2016-17 management letter, interventions to address audit outcomes, significant achievements during the reporting period, areas of underachievement during the reporting period, program performance for 2016-17 with specific focus on targets not achieved, and the 2016-17 financial performance. Chairperson, I need to indicate that we spent most of last year focusing on the performance side of the organization. But then we realized that it's not enough to just deliver projects. We also need to account when it comes to the finances. And as you will see in our presentation, we are starting with those areas that pertain to the concerns that have been expressed with regard to the management of finances. Before I allow the CFO to speak on that, let me just highlight our approach to dealing with some of the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. We are currently looking at three issues. The first issue deals with the findings of last year. The second part deals with irregular expenditures dating back to 2008, amounting to just over 100 million. So there is a lot of work that we're doing to expunge some of the audit findings dating back to 2008, quite a lot of work that we are busy with. But what we've also been doing, we have improved on our risk management in the sense that we are beginning to pick up things way before they happen. So there are any warning systems. So what we're going to do, we'll allow the CFO to start by looking at the financial issues pertaining to the audit report. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. If we can go to slide 3, in terms of the audit outcome for 2016-17, matters that were reported in the audit report, there were 4, and those matters that were reported in the management report, there were 2. So in total, that's 26, but the overall opinion. It was unqualified audit opinion. If we go to the detail of the matters that were reported in the audit report, the first one, there was a finding that no deviation was approved for procuring goods and services without obtaining at least 3 quotations. And the action plan, Chair, that we have put in place is that the SDM policy will be reviewed to enhance the internal controls, we are busy with that. And then the deviation form to be completed at all times. And again, the procurement to be effected only after approval is granted. And also, this matter, we also included in the key performance indicator in the performance agreement of the institution in the SDM. Then the second one was the performance and under procurement and contract management, non-compliance identified in the hygiene and cleaning services tender. Then the action plan that we have put in place, in fact, the finding was that the official there was an official who is linked to the service provider that was appointed, who was working at Treasury, but it was an intent, and by the time we appointed, we did not pick them up. So the action plan that we put in place is that the central database will be utilized to verify the declaration of interest, and then all bids will be sent to internal audit to audit before awarding. And again, it's another measure that is additional that we put in place is that the SIPS verification will also happen before and after, just before the awarding. And then the wording of terms of reference and evaluation criteria will make sure that it is objective and simple for evaluation purposes, and also training and development of the committee members of which it has had. Then the third one, it was irregular expenditure where they indicated that no consequence management incurred. As DG has alluded, that we are working on the irregular expenditure and we will report in the next meeting. I think we should be showing much improvement with regards to the irregular expenditure. But the action plan that we agreed upon, that the disciplinary action will be taken against all officials who are responsible for the irregular expenditure, and also the SDM policy is being reviewed, and the appointment of the irregular expenditure committee to deal with those matters, and workshops to be conducted across the department on the SDM policies and procedures, and all irregular expenditure to be reported to National Treasury on a regular basis. Then the last one that was reported under the audit report, corrected material misstatements, the financial statement submitted for auditing contained material misstatements. On this one, Chair, this was on the 650 million that was submitted, that was paid to SAPO, and SAPO was supposed to issue shares to the department, and that part did not happen and did not disclose as such. So the action plan is that payment of financial assets is adequately reviewed and further to be validated with entities and National Treasury regarding the disclosure. When we come to the findings that were reported, key findings that were reported in the management letter, the first one is the irregular appointment where salary payment was made to an employee before appointment was approved. The action plan is that the disciplinary action will be taken against all officials who are responsible for the irregular appointment. And again, the recruitment and selection policy to be reviewed to enhance the internal control. Then the second one, expenditure management, payment to suppliers not made within 30 days. I must say, Chair, the findings that were raised under payment to suppliers within 30 days, it was about 6 invoices and regarding training of officials, because those the training invoices were paid in HR, and then the rest of the invoices of regular suppliers will pay in supply chain. So now, in terms of the action plan, we said that the receipt of invoices is now centralized in a template to track and monitor the payment of invoices is in place, and also control measures have been put in place to ensure that the process of certification of invoices is smooth and that it happens change. And then with regard to internal audit, there was a finding that internal audit is not audit the transfers made to the entity, and the action plan which was put in place is that to develop and implement a comprehensive process to develop the internal audit plan, which contains control measures to ensure that all legislative requirements and leading practices recommended are taken into account. And also the internal audit plan for the 17-18 financial year does cover the transfer payments. And then on the performance agreement, there was a finding that performance agreements were not submitted within the required time frame, of which here it was only two officials and disciplinary action underway with regard to that. And then in terms of the intervention to address the audit outcome, the department has developed and is also implementing the integrated action plan that focuses on providing a systematic resolution of the findings and also ensuring that the root causes are effectively identified and addressed, so that if it affects a number of findings, then you can clear all those findings with maybe one or two. And also the effective implementation of the integrated action plan is monitored on a regular basis by the government integrated action plan committee and also the DEC. When I'm referring to the integrated action plan, that is the plan, it does not only include AGSA findings, it also includes findings from the internal audit as well. And then the Chief Director Internal Audit Services will conduct follow-up audits as independent monitoring of the progress on the implementation of the integrated action plan. And also the audit committee will provide independent oversight holding expeditious management to account and effective implementation of the interview jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thanks, CFO. Chairperson, as I indicated, you realize that this part of the presentation is in the future tense because this speaks to the annual report as it was. But then since then, quite a lot has happened, and as we come to present the quarterly report, we'll also be able to use that opportunity to indicate the progress that we'll be making in respect to accountability for the public resources. I'll quickly go into the performance side of the work of the department. As indicated on page 9 in chapter 10, honorable members, our achievement spend at 81% and an expenditure of 86%. And I wish to believe that going into the current financial year will improve on what it comes. I think my colleague can confirm that I will verify on both ends, on the performance and also on the expenditure side of the department, judged by our quarter three in the report. Now, in terms of work that we have been doing in the department, with regards to the legislative program, we have made a strike in that the electronic communication amendment bill was approved and released for public consultation. We have worked also on the ICT sector regulator and the tribunal bill, which has not been submitted to Parliament, but to Cabinet, I mean, but a lot of work has been done on that. The digital development fund also has been developed in Germany. So, all in all, Chairperson, what is happening here is that we have been using the resources of the department to draft on in this bill. And at the time of the annual report, this is the work that we have done, but since then, quite a lot has happened. Now, on the legislative strategy and development strategy, we have also made a strike to extend that by now. The two have been approved by the cabinet, so which also been completed today. ICT SME is the same as happened. At the time of at the end of the financial year, we had completed the process, and now it has been approved by cabinet as well. SOC rationalization also, we have submitted to cabinet and it was also approved. So we will be going ahead with the implementation. This is the repurposing of CETA and the merger of the two entities, BBI and CETEC, as we previously presented to yourself. The restarting of frequency planning, I need to indicate that this project still has not been completed because of this argument between ourselves and the CASA as to how this should be finalized, but also who should finalize this, who must take the final decision. So this has not been completed. Now it becomes a big issue in the sense that stakeholders in the industry have been writing letters to us trying to find out what is happening with the national resolution plan, and engagement with the CASA are ongoing. And with respect to our international program, we've been doing quite a lot of work, and we developed 5 position papers, which pertain to a number of international institutions that we are involved in. On the automation of business processes, that is on page 11, we have also done quite a lot of work with respect to this project. And as things stand now, we have something that we call smart staff in chapter 17. Our own initiative internally within the department. Now, what smart guard does allows us to use electronic means to manage leave in the organization. So, we are currently implementing this, and a lot of work, of course, still needs to be done. On climate and culture surveys in Chatterton, we have also done a lot of work because we appointed an external company to assist us to look at the challenges facing the organization. We have received the report, we have had engagement with the staff, and now we are implementing the outcome of that process. So work is being done. Now, there were areas where we did not achieve as a department. The first area pertains to the revision and implementation of the organizational principles. Now, this is very important, not just from a compliance point of view, but as we talk about the digital industrial revolution and the role of this department, there is a need for us to align the department and its staff complement appropriately. Now, this was not in mind because at the time of implementation, it turned out that there was an intermediate step that we needed to undertake, and that pertains to the development and approval of the service delivery model. Now, you cannot have a structure until you have a clear service delivery model. What we managed to do at the end of the transition year was to get the service delivery model approved, and now we're working on the structure. And we will report at the later date in terms of where we are and continue with the implementation. Now, on the development of South Africa's this was not concluded because it also depended on other players, in particular the other three members who needed to help the processors for the work that we're doing, and unfortunately that was not done. As indicated, on the development of the Nissan strategy, although the strategy was developed, it was diverted after the reporting paper. So we developed the document, but by the time of the annual, at the end of the annual report, we have not done it. Now the target set that they as opposed to develop. So we developed the strategy, but it was not diverted as per our commitment in the APP. The rollout of broadband, this has been a very big challenge, as the minister has already indicated. It was also not achieved. And as of now, we have made the strides in the sense that we have placed orders with the state-owned companies that have been mandated to implement the project. And we will be saying that the project, the implementation will start in the course of this month because we have issued the relevant invoices. And then with the orders again to CISA, and we'll be doing the same with the project. In summary, that concludes the what has been done and what has not been done, and the CFO will wrap up with the overall financial performance report.
The annual appropriation for the department for 2015-2016 financial year was increased to 2.4 million, mainly because of the transfer to staff that was increased, and then the departmental revenue. That is the 831 million. That is the dividend that we have received from Telkom. And then the total revenue is 3.2 billion. When we come to the current expenditure, compensation of employees amounts to 205 million. And goods and services, what was spent is 153 million. And the total current expenditure is 358 million. And then the next slide on the transfers, 1 billion there was transferred to the NTE. That figure includes the payments to the international membership organization that the department belongs to. And then when we look at the capital assets, on the tangible assets, 5 million was spent, and on the software, which is mainly the Microsoft software, 4.2 million was spent, bringing the total capital assets to 9.3 million. And then under the financial transaction, the 650 was allocated to the department to transfer to SACO, and that's what we did. Then the total expenditure amounts to 2.1 billion. And then when we look at the statement of financial performance, the voted funds to be surrendered amounted to 341.7 million. This will include the fund for the broadband, the where we did not spend. And then departmental revenue is 831, and then what will be transferred, what was transferred to National Treasury is 1.2 billion. And then when we look at the expenditure per program, for administration, 97.4% of the budget was spent, and for international, 96.9% was spent there. And then for policy, including ICE, 88.4% was spent, and on the SOC, 99.5% was spent, and on the infrastructure, 72.8% was spent due to the broadband project. And then the total spending for the department at the end of the financial year amounted to 85.9% of the budget. And then when we look at fair economic classification, on the current payment is goods and services together with compensation of employees. The spending there is sitting at 358 million, and which is 48%. And then on the transfer, 1.1 billion was transferred, and then payment for capital assets, 9.2 million was paid, and then for financial assets, 660 million. And then at the end, is 2.1 billion that was spent. And then when we look at the detail of the transfer shares for to USASA, 69 million was transferred, and to USASA for the set of boxes, 589 million was transferred, and to USASA, 55 million was transferred, and to SAPO, 240 million one transfer, and to NEMISA, 77 million was transferred. And then there was nothing for the Centex World Illumination. And then to international organizations, 26 million was paid in the previous financial year, amounting to 1.1 billion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Then I allow members to ask a question. I know that you want to ask a question. I'm not talking.
My apologies because I'm going to leave now in no time. Let's welcome the presentation. And I appreciate that the minister is here. Otherwise, we are going to teach them to go back to the trouble. Chair, I want the department to unpack the 26.1.3 on page or slide 26, the latter part of your immediate text. Foreign government, international organization, the impact of that work in what is supposed to translate into effectiveness and the outcome of the output. I hope I do make sense. Yeah. And then you go to slide 24. Please unpack, or to start with, on ICT policy development, I'm still waiting, Honorable Minister, the copy of ICT policy as a member of this committee. Maybe it was sent and then somewhere in the administration, but I'm still waiting that policy document, because I remember myself making that point to say we need to carry knowledge of the substance
and the content of that ICT policy. Even thus far, I haven't received that document. Madam, please, can you untap that amount of money on the ICT policy, on the actual expenditure, 2016-2017, and the ICT enterprise development? What does that mean? I just want to understand that. Albeita will be in absent. I will be absent when you respond. Thank you, Shabbat. Let me just make this point. When you say your spending constitutes 86% of your budget allocation, and yet you say there are elements that you have not managed to implement or to take off as per the mandate, can you combine the two in your response? In the context of justifying your 86% expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The first slide showed that the Auditor General's outcome report, unqualified year one, unqualified next year, unqualified 20. My question is, why do we seem to be lacking time? Why don't we get into the clean audit level? What are the limitations? Why do we just remain at the same level of performance when we are actually aspiring to achieve clean audit? My other question with this ICASA story. Something wasn't done because ICASA had not done something. Chairperson, the term is almost over. The 5-year term started in 2014. It's almost over. And it looks like as a department, we haven't found our feet yet. That's my point of concern. Then the question is, for the past 4 years, 4 or 3 years, what is it that we've been doing? You preempted my question on the future tense because it kept on saying, will looks like now, for the rest of this term, we're still battling to get our policy in place. Then the term will end. Then what shall our achievement be? Something has not been gazetted. I think the report says so. Can we be clarified as to what the handicaps are? Because really and truly, we wouldn't like this department to end a 5-year term. Just making on paper, planning, and doing those kinds of things, not getting things done. Voted funds surrendered. Really, this one makes me very unhappy. Very, very unhappy. Why did we fail to use the funds for the purpose intended? Why must we surrender money? Surrender money, people out there are waiting for services. The money is lying somewhere here. I would, Chairperson, throw you, maybe if the minister was aware of the funds that are not being utilized, one question would be, why didn't we pass the money on to other departments where maybe they could better be utilized. So if our people out there were to know, if the citizens were to know that the money budgeted for their services is being surrendered, went back to treasury, that would be very, very, very sad. Very, very sad. Lastly, Chairperson, proportion-wise, money for services and capital works, etc., as compared to monies for salaries. Greater proportion, it goes for the salaries. It means ours is a subsistence budget, we're just consuming this money, we're not growing. Capital works, we're not doing that, we just here, we just paying ourselves, etc., etc. I know this one may be perhaps require some long-term planning, how we get the proportions right. I'm not suggesting we go into mechanization. You know that with mechanization, the machines replace the people, and then you may not have such a very high budget for personnel, but it's a point of concern that more money is going for the salaries. Chairperson, but my biggest concern is the money that go back. Thank you very much. Was supposed in terms of the report, who was very close.
Chairperson. Chairman, I was just daydreaming about this. It's good time for dreaming. You are supposed to be 10 and dreaming this day. But yes, Chairperson, on page 6, also on the slide. Also on the salary payment that was not approved, I just wanted to know how did you do things in the past? Can you explain to us how this slipped through the cracks? How is this possible? And also, who will be held liable for this? Is someone held liable? Do you have a case already against this person? What actually transpired up to now? Because it's no use filling the gap with legislation, and there's still room for human interference, because I believe it should have been human interference. Can you please be upfront to the committee and tell us exactly what happened, who was responsible in your mind? And how, because you first have to know who was responsible before you effect any changes to prevent it from happening again. So can you please be upfront and tell us how far are you with those people or that person implicated here? Chairperson, secondly, on page 8, it says the effective implementation of the AIP is monitored on a regular basis. Can you please explain more how regular? Because regular can mean anything. In terms of 100 years, regular can be 10 years intervals. How regular is this being done? Is it quarterly, monthly, bi-monthly, or just give us some more? And then you say that Cabinet already approved is it the ECA, Electronic Communications Amendment. Now, I just need to understand something, and maybe the Minister can also respond, because it's more in the vein of what the last discussions were last year, in terms of ICASA. How involved is ICASA in this bill? Are they totally excluded in this bill? And if so, what do you think are the constitutional implications of this bill? Because I'm sure we can discuss it now. It's in your report, and it's also already given to the cabinet. The cabinet already approved it, and it will come, may come to the future. So I just need to find out just some clarity before one will apply your mind to this bill. What they involve, who is actually the WOAN, the Wireless Open Access Network? Who's supposed to be the beneficiaries for that? Is it a government-run company? How will it work? How will it impact on our current structure as it is now? Is it government-run? Because you said this will be done. It already went through the cabinet already approved it. With this also, the allocation of spectrum. We know this minister and impasse, if I can call it that, between yourself and ICASA in terms of the spectrum issue in our country, where I think Treasury already approved in 2017, I think, early. The sale or the auction of spectrum, you interdicted it and so forth. So before you can mention another bill coming into effect. Can you please elaborate what happened with the other issues? The committee, we were not informed of what happened, what transpired. Is it still ongoing? What is it? To my mind, let me be frank, to my mind, I think the impasse is being answered, or ICASA has been sidelined by this bill deliberately. And I think it's unconstitutional. Can you elaborate on the constitutionality of sidelining ICASA in this bill? Chairperson, and then I just want to know, also like Honorable Mita said, how far are you with the disciplinaries? Because these disciplinaries, it's not a matter of saying we will do it this year. We are going to do it. It happened. Can you tell us? Can you give us dates? Can you tell us whether there are charge sheets given to these people? Are they already charged? What happened? What are the dates when these people, when you will do these things? Because it's one thing to come to the committee and say that we will do this. We will do this. Because now we saw the mistakes and now we want to rectify it. Give us facts. Put facts on the table and tell us that's a report. In my view, a report is not what you will do. A report is what you did. And you didn't tell us what you did on this thing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. From the question, I'm not going to repeat, but I want to also this want to share my concern in regards to budgets that have not been used by the departments. You know, it's criminal. You know, people out there require services that we don't use up and spend our work to do service delivery. The second thing I'd like to ask is pertaining to the retention of critical skill. Is there any plan in place to train personnel and have some incentive to retain these personnel so the critical skills are always in the department? Okay. If the department wants to grow, then it has to have these critical skills available at all times.
Thank you, honorable member. Before I'm going to give over to this department, I'm not going to go to see. However, on page 5, on irregular expenses, it seems that there was a kind of a three-for-all system in place, no system. And I mean, we spoke about it. It's not the first time that you were interested. And it seems you must tell us if you are very serious to put systems in place to deal with this irregular expenditure. Because you previously, before when we started with the splitting of the two departments, this thing came from their side. And you just take it over and it seems like it. Even at that time, there was plans that you must relook and see what system you put in place to foresee this kind of system. But it seems that there is no seriousness of putting in systems in place to prevent this kind of situation. So we want now to see the systems, not what you're going to do, what you did put in place. And I also want to emphasize disciplinary action to be taken against officials, to be taken. Can you share with us what did you do since you did a report to allow in where the process is? I think we really need to take the government processes seriously like you just continue asking the same questions and the same processes just every time reporting the same thing, but there's no outcome. But a lot of money is going in. And our people are struggling outside. So I think I don't want to ask questions, Minister. I want you to tell us seriously what are in place really to prevent all the mess in this department. I know that you, in your opening remarks, you are saying you move. But if I'm looking at the presentation, I cannot see the movement, what you're trying to tell us. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm not going to go into detailed things, but you know I'm overall now. Because I am concerned, we have hope for you, and we have hope that you will come here with a better report. But we are really concerned on our whole of it. Thank you very much.
They walk in the streets now.
what time frame does the department give us for dealing with this 50% vacancy rate, which maybe from an informed position I could link to the funds that are being retained, are being surrendered? We need a clear time frame. If possible, I don't know the frequency of them coming here to come report, but even if they go write it down and say to us, okay, we think as far as vacancy is concerned, this is February now, Next February, we will be in an election mode, so on and so forth, and for this term, we will have disappointed our people out there. But we're having here a workforce which we are honestly, faithfully paying every month. Now, what time frames would they reassure us that next time they come to this committee, there will be no 50% vacancy rate? They will absorb these graduates who are working there.
Thank you. The last one is like this. On page 19, it is reported here that the administered tender process. You couldn't appoint a service provider due to technical requirements for the rollout of the process. I just want to understand if this problem is solved now. Are you sure that there will be after you went out on tender and couldn't find the relevant requirements for this for the rollout of the broadband connectivity? So what makes you believe that you will get now a service provider?
Minister, can you take us in your confidence? What plans have you got to employ graduates that are unemployed as interns? Have you got any plans to do this? Because of the high unemployment in this country. Can you take us in your confidence in it? Thank you.
I just want to know, in terms of going forward, the SASSA payment. Can you take us into contact? I thought Honorable,
yeah.
Whether you will take us into your confidence in terms of that process. How far is it? Are you still battling with the minister, if you battle with the minister? because I really think it will help us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I'm just glad it's coming from the floor because I raised it before. I wanted to raise it firstly, Honorable Minister. Just to ask, because I saw on the news then the agency going to court with us for extended, so we can do it just briefly. Just to ask in your confidence before I say thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. Let me say, physically, this is a very old report, but it's a lot of report. Yes, so I was here to account for it. The official will come on specific details because I may not have all the details. Maybe on the first thing of the new policy, ICT white paper, I thought we agreed that we should be given to members. If they have not received them, please just make sure that every member has got it. Although it's on the website, but it's important to have a copy. It wouldn't cost that much to explain those topics. Well, the legislators must understand the policies. So that when you come to legislation, because it does refer to the policy extensively, the legislation which is becoming to parliament. Please let's make sure that the deficit is done. We did also make a commitment to have a workshop, I think, I'm not sure it was the National Assembly, to take the MPs on board. What are the rationale behind some of these policies? Some of them we have just raised as the controversial or difficult sessions. They are not controversial, they are contested sessions. But I'll come back to that one. I had a lot of officials the honourable members saying that they are concerned about the defence fund. Still a concern. How small it may be, it is a concern when it comes back. But some of the major things that were small departments, things of less particular employees, we're not necessarily delivering something. Most of our budget goes to transfer to the agencies which we oversee to do the actual work. If we check, most of the budget goes to transfer, and we then oversee that. The bulk of the work of the department is policy and monitoring of policy implementation. And I think that's what constitutes the bulk. Yes, it should be really easy then for a small department to get a clean audit. But it may also be difficult because we have got many dependencies. Because if the money is not spent by the agency, they are transferred to, you still have to account for that because money comes through you to that agent, not directly to that agent. So those are some of the issues. I think at the beginning, we did mention that some of the major irregular expenditures carry on irregular expenditure. That's from 2008. The bulk of them happened around 2012. 2013. That's where we started having the SIU investigation. I think at some stage we did take Parliament on board on the progress on the SIU investigation. When you take over in 2014, the department had two SIU investigations. You first had two. The process we had one or two. Theta, which inherited, had two. So we're really having a huge governance problem within the department and within our own entity. I think it was only Centec which was getting clean the body at that particular time. So that way we've been trying to put these systems in place, because where there is poor governance is systems. I think that's what Chair is asking us. What are the systems? I'm sure the officials will come to the details of that. There's been also been a concern about the expenditure and the performance, the disjunction. Yes, it is there. But the gap is not so big. But the gap becomes problems when you start to drill down where the expenditure is not happening. Like you say, if the rollout of infrastructure, it decreases our competitiveness and the access of basic ICT, especially for the marginalized, it remains a concern for us. Maybe just to touch a bit on the problem, what has been the problem in the last few years. The broadband, the first thing you have is the broadband that you don't have sufficient budget as government. You never have sufficient budget. If you just want to connect government departments, you need over 50 billion rand. And there's no way we're going to have that money. But with the money we have, small money we have, we're expected to deliver on those. There's been huge challenge. the first approach by government was to have what is called a lead agent, an agent with capability to deliver fast. And that's why cabinet designated Telcom, I think around 2015, to be the lead agent. But because of the PFMA requirement, we have to go and get the deviation from national treasury. They took a long time, and eventually they came back and they said no. They don't want deviation as a matter of principle. So then Telcom, who was going to give us this rollout, they had the capacity, they were giving us a huge discount. So we lost that opportunity. Then we have to take the next step now, because National Treasury, who's in charge of the PFMA, they prepared a tender system. We put a tender system. Telcom said, we're no more interested in the tender because we've disclosed our figures to you. If we are to compete with you, we'll give you competitive prices in line with the image. So they didn't bid. We said, okay, let's continue with the bid which was conducted by CETA. We pushed CETA to really rush that bid. Eventually, they couldn't get a suitable candidate when they ordered. There was no one who was capable to deliver. That's just project of rollout in 8 districts. Why? Because they are not the easiest of districts. It's not like rolling out broadband in Johannesburg, then they locate up. It was in the poorer district where there's less infrastructure, there's less returns for investment. They couldn't meet the requirement and specification. That was independently done by CETA as a state agency. And then they then asserted that there's no qualified. So we're back to square one. And then now, what we were doing since last year, after that decision by CETA, I think it was around April or so, then we took a decision now to say we cannot just believe. Let's use our own state agencies, which is BPI, CETA, and Centec. To roll out this infrastructure. We spent a lot of time with National Treasury, eventually they agreed. But the process of approval just takes just too long. It's a bureaucratic process, basically. But you must take responsibility for it. That's why we are rolling out this broadband which is needed. The only thing, but it doesn't mean that broadband is not being rolled out in South Africa. Our own company, Broadband Infrastructure, continues to roll out broadband infrastructure. Suntech continues to focus now on the broadband, not just broadcasting, on the broadband infrastructure. USASA, which is our agency, Universal Access, they continue. They started rolling out. We said while we're waiting for new tender processes, let them focus at OR Tambo. It's okay. They did employ SMEs, they did a good job, but there were also some problems because it was not an easy area. It's not an easy area. In good towers, there are lots of mountains. Some of them were windy, original. The first towers, some of them were falling. So they had to redo. So even those SMEs, they were struggling financially to cope with the certification like that. But they are rolling out then, there at the time. The private companies are also rolling out because we put policies so that they can roll out. And we'll come back to the spectrum issue, the honorable member is just for it. So that's the other farm of the, I'm not going to talk about internal inefficiencies in this department. The other problem which we face. You remember, Honorable Chair members, that we faced a leadership problem in the department. We have to suspend the highest official, the accounting officer. And we have to ask the Public Service Commission to do an investigation. They did produce the report. which then assisted us to let the accounting officer there. It was basically, the essence was trying to deal with the cases which came from 2012. Media corners and all those tenants, irregular tenants. But the way that they were conducting the disciplinary processes themselves, they were putting us at risk as a state of being challenged and all of this. So that's what the Public Service Commission, they did their work in time. I really commend them. The chair of the commission was really taking charge of this and gave us that report. And that's what assisted us to then take the final step and eventually discharge the accounting officer. We have to then, during that period, appoint Mr. Duasa, who was just my advisor, to try and steer the department and try and improve the service delivery. He did a lot of work in that short time of acting until we then eventually appointed the current DG, which has really brought some stability in the department. You will remember that when the DG was still there, fired the previous DG. So we're not nothing with the department. Fired the DG, reported for administration, fired the international DG, fired the police. These are very critical posts for service delivery. And then when they were fired, we have to follow the legal process. So we have filled some of those posts now. We've got a new DDG administration. We've got a new DDG international metropolitan system. Some leave on called maternity. But why are people leaving? And so they're okay. the policy one we are considering, but we also said because we have to come up with a new structure for the department. Because we can't operate as this was still the old communications department. With new department with a specific mandate. And that's what they've been working on, the business case for the new department. There's been one delay, but they were concluding that one. So I thought I should just give that background. When we have got leadership instability, it calls to this type of reluctance. The broadband policy and the open access, wireless open access, who does it benefit? Is this going to be run by the state? Are we marginalizing the ICASA as a regulator? What's happening to the impact? Let me say that the impact was caused because we felt that the regulator was preempting the policy. They were aware of the policy. They asked about to share the policy with them, which is. Then they were then preempting and doing things which would make that policy useless. They were doing things, in our view, which were going to entrench the current monopoly in this sector. The sector is constrained because of oligopoly. The new entrants can't come in, even if you do have videos, you can't come in. There are huge barriers to entry. Some years ago, we licensed about 27 regional operations. Because they were dependent on these big ones, the price was so high, at the same time, they were competing with them. So, the leveling of the playing field is not in there. That's the purpose of the policy, to level the playing field. The wireless open access network, it takes into account that spectrum is a limited resource. And spectrum is a tool to amplify your infrastructure deployment to reach your city last mile. And the best way we found that we should share this infrastructure instead of duplicating it everywhere to suit the current monopolies. If it is shared, others can, because it then becomes, that's why it's a wireless open access, and wholesale access. You get the price at the wholesale price. At the same time, you as an owner buy that service. Unlike where the current system, where when you are selling yourself that infrastructure as an operator of it, because the telecom, they run services over this infrastructure. That's where they make money. So, and we want this infrastructure to extend everywhere, not to only to places where there's money. We want access to digital services to every part of the country and to every dorpy and town. So, the envisaged system, new system in the public wallet of NSS, won't be run by government. We've made it quite clear, it's run by any company. If state-owned companies want to bid into it, if it's private-owned companies, it's mainly the private companies who play a significant role. So it's not a government-driven or operated company, this envisaged wireless open access. And then it is critical because out of about 400 licensees, in terms of CCAS, only six have got access to spectrum. Six companies out of 400 licenses, only six. Others, they have to go to outside in Africa to operate there. They are South African citizens who can't have access to spectrum in their own country. They have to go to Ghana and other Central African countries to operate there. And they are capable. They are running networks there. So that's another thing which will help us to improve the competition if we've got more players and bring down the cost of data. So I thought I should just say the beneficiary eventually will be you as a citizen, because you'll get better service, you'll get a better cost, unlike currently, where the few are just calling the shots. It will bring more players. It will bring even the small entrants who are basically reducing that barrier of entry by creating this wholesale access mechanism. So, in CASA, there's no materialization of the CASA. ICASA is not a policy-making body. That's a regulatory body and a licensing body. The policy in terms of our constitutional dispensation rests with the executive. The ICASA, even in the amendment, like any other entity, like any other department, they had input into the draft legislation which was sent for public comment. We were sent into public comment, this was just approved for public comment, so that you can get input from the public and the industry. Then come back to the cabinet for approval, after then taking into account those inputs, and after we're done that, then we'll submit to parliament for you as legislation to do your own processes with the legislation. So ICASA, I know definitely that it has their own submissions, like National Treasury, like any other department. But the main policy department make sure that the policy is not diluted through the legislation. Legislation is must first achieve the objective of the policy. I'm not aware about National Treasury and the auctioning was there for nobody to do so. The licensing rests with the CASA. And the CASA will license in terms of the current policy and the legislation can change. So that's my understanding, that there's no conflict. There was a conflict when you custom went on to advertise licensing of this gas resource before we finalized project. Because it was going to, the way we read it, it was going to lead us to the same entrenchment of the monopoly which we have at the moment. We have been working with the industry since we passed this policy, consulting them on the implementation, on how best we implement this policy. We have had several meetings with the whole of the industry, those who are licensed now with spectrum and those who are not, those who are big and those who are small, and even some interested civil society groups. We have collected their input, and we have had fruitful discussion, and those are the inputs which are still coming now into the legislative process which we are putting in place. Because everyone says we must then implement this policy as soon as possible. Out of those engagements with the industry, even those who are against this open access network, they said they will support it. They will support to extend that they will buy certain capacity in order to make this new entity viable. We also, in return, we said, okay, we'll waive some of the aspects of the current white paper if the industry is doing that. Remember, the policy said the spectrum must be returned through a process which should be determined by ICASA, that's what our policy says. The industry was worried about that, that maybe by 2020 they'd be required to return the spectrum, they have the high demand spectrum. So in order to increase the certainty of their investment, we agreed that we may waive at that until the end of their license period, which is around 2027-2028, so that we ensure the certainty of their investment, because we are also concerned about the state of the economy. In return, they said that if we agree on that, then when this WAON is established, they buy at least 30% capacity to ensure, because when you are starting a new network, you need customers in it, otherwise you won't buy. So then the industry then said, hey, they are happy with that, but they are constrained currently. Their networks are constrained, they need additional high demand spectrum. They then asked us, Minister, because we've already invested in what is called LTE network, 4G network, do you still think that for 4G network, LTE, are you going to need these entities, we're going to need all the spectrum, taking into account the current level of investment? Bearing in mind that when we started the policy, they were below 50% coverage of the population. Now they were saying we're at 75% coverage of the population with just 4G. Then we said we'll do a study. We'll commission, and we agreed, all of us just commission with the industry, I'll commission CSIR to do the study. CSIR has done the study now, we just have to take them to cabinet. So that in case there's the excess capacity spectrum, we then will issue to the regulator to license. We're just finalizing those processes now through the cabinet process. And that's what we announced last year, that's what we've been engaging. That's why the issue of spectrum, then we said we'll finalize that study. But if there's an extra spectrum which won't be required by this entity, we license it. It's one of what we call confidence boosting measures, which were announced by the Minister of Finance last year. And we're still on track to do that. So, in short, Chairperson, the beneficiaries are, if we are lowering the barriers of entry, lowering the cost, making sure that there are more players in the industry, making sure that it's the industry, not government, who's running this thing. We have got no intention to run this, but we don't have the capacity to be running that way. But in addition to the state entities rolling out broadband, the private sector, as I'm saying, they are also rolling out these networks. Unfortunately, for us who are staying in rural areas, I always say to this urbanite, when they talk about coverage, they don't talk of geographic coverage. They talk of population coverage. And when you see where is the largest number of population staying, it's in Johannesburg, Cape Town, Devon, and in the surrounding areas, we will see in the farm, our coverage is still not good. One of the functions of one, this new network, is to extend the network more closely so that we can cover every aspect of our and deal with the challenge of geographic coverage. The current operators and the private operators, they want where they reach maximum benefits, where there's more money in their population. So I don't know on the issue of are we getting competitive in South Africa? That's what is very high on our mind, that we should remain competitive. If we are not, we are a member of G20, we are a member of BRICS, all these big organizations, and we are trading. If we are not competitive, we will be left behind. We will be left behind, and we will be left behind with the apartheid infrastructure, which doesn't help us to deal with this new reality now at home called fourth industrial revolution. For us, we now starting to think about the next generation network, what we call 5G network, the IoT network, Internet of Things network. That's what we are thinking about already now. Because if you are not involved in the Internet of Things digital economy, you'll be left behind. That's why in the policy we are saying we must also establish the commission. Others call it fourth industrial, others call it digital revolution commission. And government side is doing already things, they may report on that to the official. But we look at this commission also involved in the private sector, because if the industry doesn't prepare for this revolution, big companies will die. Giants already have died because of this digital revolution. So we want to remain competitive, we want to train our employees, we want to train our civil society. That's why last year, we entered into partnership with the World Economic Forum in Durban on this Internet for All project. Internet for All project is basically trying to work with the industry, civil society and government together to extend these services. It's got four arms. The first is to have innovative way of deploying infrastructure, because the traditional way is not going to make us move faster. Local companies, international companies, various government departments, they are engaged in that project. Already, some of the companies, like satellite companies, they are rolling out, experimenting in the Eastern Cape, Upper North District, using satellite to connect, but also stimulate local small businesses. Run internet services, so this thing is sustainable. It's not just free, but it's sustainable. There are many other projects going on in this internet project. The first one is infrastructure. The second one is about the digital skills. Many companies, local and international, they are offering to train with our citizens on how to use internet. For example, they'll train people who are running small B&Bs, how to advertise their things on the internet and get better revenues. I'm just using that as an example. So the issue of skills revolution, a lot of companies, they committed to train millions of our people. We're a little bit behind to direct them where to go, because we have to work with local municipalities. So they believe that the people need training to use this. So the MPs, because they've got constituents, you can assist them. Look for the young people who are unemployed, those who are employed too, so they can use, help those who are unemployed and train them. So that is one problem of this partnership with one. The other one is local content and localization, manufacturing of these devices. We are importing a lot. We even imported in television things we used to make them here in South Africa before. So the issue of devices, like all like these devices, young South Africans have produced their own brands. They just need platforms. Last year we spent a lot of time engaging the big operators to allow these devices in their flow. So they don't just deal with the big brands like Samsung, iPhones and all of this, because they are exactly the same, but in terms of price they are very competitive. They may not produce large quantities because they are establishing their brand. And that's where we feel in this enterprise development, as the members were saying, as government, that agencies like CETA, National Treasury, should facilitate that we as state employees to buy local products instead of buying imported products. Allow them, if you are buying it as a private person, you can buy anything. But if I'm using it as a minister, I must, otherwise we'll never give a chance to our old people who have spent time to develop these technologies and are trying to enter this market. So those are some of the aspects of this Internet for All to make sure that we take our people on board as we face this revolution. I thought I should just give that background, but the difficult questions about the budget, the DG and the team would then fill in, unless I've left but I thought I should just give that long background, that from where we say, I agree with members, we should not celebrate unqualified audit, because it still means they are very quite small department. Our budget is less than 3 billion then? I think 3 billion then. It's not like the Department of Education has a billion. But we are not there. And one of the things we are monitoring as government is this payment of days for SMEs. Really killing them. I'm still not happy that we didn't reach it that year. But it's not many. It's not many because we do monitor them. They do give us the report. Because their policy, if it's a valid invoice, must be paid. The department, they always argue, no, it was not complete. And when you ask what was incomplete and why was it not complete, why did you do that? But I think they are improving. They are improving. And I think with the, remember also we didn't have a CEO then, CFO then. So it started 2016, I'm ready. So for a couple of years we didn't have a CFO. So running a department without a CFO is a difficult disaster. It's the same thing of the management challenge we should have. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Minister. Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start with the issue of regular expenditure, because I think this is a very important issue for us. Now, I indicated that between 2008 and the establishment of DGPS, The irregular expenditure stands at 111 million. Now, this irregular expenditure of 111 million between 2008 and 2014 involves so many people, so many transactions. So this is not one transaction. Now, what we have been doing now, since we came into the department, is to then identify each and every one of them, because you can't treat them as a collective and go to Treasury and say, let's expire this, condone and all those kind of things. Because circumstances are not the same. So what we have done is to go through each and every one. I'm talking about 111 million South African rand. Now we have to go through each and every one, because each and every one, they are not, these are not the same issues. One is people not showing where, let's say, a hotel booking and a person does not show up. Person booking a car without authorization. Now, so these are individual issues that we can send the details so that we can appreciate the level of details. Now, having compiled that list, we then look for information that must tell us what is happening with each and every case. In some cases, we found information so we can deal with it. In other cases, there is even no information as to what actually happened to that particular transaction. Now, then when you get information, I say to the team, let's look at the people who were involved in the transaction. Then you find that the majority of the people are no longer with the department. Have left the department, got their pension pay out, even with this. Now, this is what we're dealing with. We then say, okay, for those cases that involve people who are still in the department, we will ask the people within the department to tell us what they have and give us that information. That's what we're doing currently. So as long as we have that information, we'll then be able to evaluate whether it makes sense, what actually transpired. So that when we come back to you and say, we have written off a particular case, we're condoning, I will still have to come here and explain. So even if I want to rush to a clean audit, if I were to just remove all those cases from the books without information, then it would be a problem again when I come to you and say, now we have a clean audit, and then you ask me a question, what actually happened? We say, no, we just wrote off everything. So the books are clean. So we still need to account for each and every case, even of people who have long left the department. But we will share that information when we come to do the quarterly report, because at that time will be at an advanced stage. Since the establishment of a new DGPS, we have 3.7 million of regular expenditure, we are dealing with them. Now, there are also matters that are in court, where we have gone to court to seek recourse on this irregular expenditure. We are awaiting the decisions of the court, and as the court decides, we will then be able to deal with the way forward. Now, a case in point is that of Mediacom, where there is irregular expenditure amounting to 68 million. Now, what has happened with that? The matter is before the court. As we're fighting this matter in court, then we got papers indicating that Mediacom is, what was this, insolvent? Is insolvent, and they have applied for liquidation while we are running with the case. Now, what do we do in that situation? We have to allow that process to unfold. So, the long and short of what one is saying is that, overall, I am sitting with an irregular expenditure of 199 million. Now, this is not one case. It was one case, one just deal with it. But because these are cases dating many years, it is for over a period of 10 years. You have to look at each and every case individually and deal with it individually. So that is a daunting task, but what we are able to assure members of is, at least we have gone through those cases. We know where we have information, we know where we do not have information. I'm writing to people internally to explain what actually happened, you know, to assist us with information, so that we can have a way forward. So we do need it. We do want it in audit indeed, but it has to be done in a way that we also account ourselves in the way we attain that clean audit, given the historical problems that we are faced with. We have improved also on our risk in register, because if an organization is able to manage its risk, it has a clear risk management in principles and processes, then you can pick up certain things even before they happen. You know, of course there will be certain things that you will not know until that time there is an incident. If a person has not shown up in a hotel, I will not know where I will be sitting until that time the invoices are reconciled. And what we are doing is to implement serious consequence management, and we will share with you then. Very quickly on the impact of international organizations. Given the nature of this industry, it's unavoidable in certain cases that will be part of international organizations. Because the planning of how we work in the telecoms industry, in the postal industry, in the broadcasting industry, is an international matter. So we participate in those international organizations. And as I've indicated, before we go to international organizations or big meetings where decisions are made, we develop what we call position papers. And that's the report that I gave here on that. For each and every meeting, there must be a position paper that says, what is that we want as South Africa in that meeting? Now, this is quite intense work that we undertake, and we have to talk to other countries before we go to this meeting so that we adopt the 7 positions together. In particular, we are part of SADC. So before we go to international meetings, one measure of success is whether at SADC level we are able to get consensus on something. From SADC we go to Africa. We must have an African consensus. We engage with the BRICS countries to have consensus. So that when we go to those big meetings which have geopolitical dynamics, we are also able to have a critical mass of stakeholders. So there is value, there is impact that we see in the sense that the voice of developing countries has always been represented, with South Africa playing a very important role in terms of the issues that are key to developing countries. Now, why is the policy budget low? The expenditure on policy. What has happened is that initially the plan was to go out on tender and get people to help us draft the law. So the budget accommodated and included that we should go on tender. But based on the guidance that we have received from the political principals, the minister, and yourself, honorable members, that the department is spending a lot of money on tender, what are we doing? What are the warm bodies in the department on consultant track? Now, what has since happened is that the bills that we referred to earlier on have been drafted in tender. So the money that was initially earmarked for consultants was then not used for consultants, was then retained by the department. So the bulk of work was done internally by the department. Now on the issue of the National Radio Frequency Plan, this plan is updated on annual basis. So since the beginning, we've been updating it. The process starts with ICASA and it comes to the department for approval. It's only this year that we get, when we send to ICASA, that you can't make certain changes which are of a policy nature in the National Radio Frequency Plan, because that decision can only be made by the policy making department. In particular, this relates to the issue of broadcasters, that there are frequencies that are currently occupied by broadcasters to provide services. And until that time, the broadcasters have migrated, and there is a policy pronouncement that says the broadcasters have ceased to use these frequencies, then they can be used by other people. You can't do that as a regulator because you are putting all of us in jeopardy. In the sense that is the policy level decision that must be made. We are still meeting with ICASA to engage on those issues. The minister has indicated that part of the lack of expenditure related to the broadband project, and we're to retain in that demand, unfortunately, to the national interest. On salaries versus expenditure, salaries are generally very regulated in terms of how far you can go in expenditure. So we can't wake up in the morning ourselves and say we just want to employ more people. But what we have been able to do is to ensure that when it comes to meetings, that were allowed, we've been able to bring interns on board, and we're increasingly taking vested, showing vested interest as to where they go after saving with the department. Because part of the challenge is that you have the interns with the department. At the end of the year, you give them certificates. You don't even know where they go. They travel to go back to the streets and all those elements. So we're looking at it quite progressively in terms of where we can assist in for the assessment of the interns. On the issue pertaining to an irregular expenditure that has been referred to, this happened in the office of the previous deputy minister. What actually happened is that the person, the head of the office, appointed a person. And this person got the salary before the paperwork can be filed. Now, in the intervening period, while we're beginning to deal with the disciplinary issue, then this person left the department to another government department. There was a transfer. So while we then did, we got the relevant information to understand the basis of how this came about. Because the law says that if there can be an explanation, based on that explanation, where the department has gained, didn't lose anything, then you can control it. However, we then insisted that there should be a written warning that should be included with this person's file as the person was going to another government. So again, the consolation was not arbitrary. There was a representation in terms of what actually happened, who did what, did this person who was paid well for the department, did we get paid for money in terms of what this person was supposed to do. Now, that is not something obviously to take home or to condone, because it's still not the right thing. As we said that as much as we can see that work was done by the person who was appointed irregularly, there must be some consequence by way of a warning letter, which we've alerted the other department that the person that we are inheriting has this trade record from where it comes from. So that if there is another infringement that time, that that letter of warning that I issue can be used by the new department to deal with the official. On the issue of youth, the issue of youth is central to the work that we're doing on empowerment. Now, this is what we've done in just 11 years to go to it. Last year, we went to the BRICS Ministers meeting. What we did when we went to the BRICS Ministers meeting, we were directed by the minister that every time we go to those meetings where there are opportunities or SMEs, we always take the basic guidance. We must now start taking SMMEs as part of the ministerial delegation. So we did that. But before we did that, we said to the SMMEs, before we go there, you need to know what you want, so that you can establish contact also with the kind of partners that you want to engage with. So we took the SMMEs to Hangzhou in China. They participated, they met with their peers, they went to Alibaba and other big companies. And they follow up on some of the commitments which we made. Then again, the minister went to Korea at the end of last year. The same thing was done, and not the same SMMEs, but new SMMEs. And if you look at the composition of the SMMEs, they come from across the provinces, so they are not even SMMEs from one province. When we arrived in Korea, we asked them to participate in the global competition on innovation, and a number of them were shortlisted, and one of them won in Taiwan. Now, at the tail end of this year, we'll be hosting the ITU World event, which is the biggest telecommunications event. Now, as you know, so the theme is still around SMEs. And we've impressed on the ITU that as part of the legacy culture, after hosting such a big event, there must be something that remains for South African SMEs. So that is the work that we're doing. As indicated earlier on, we have the SME strategy has been approved by Kevin. Now we can start the implementation of the SMME strategy. And that includes work that we do with in partnership with industry. Now on SOC rationalization, when we were here last time, we came to talk about it and indicated that we have been directed by policy to rationalize some of the entities that are doing the same thing so that we can maximize the value of public resources. We have received an approval from the cabinet that we need to go ahead and repurpose the Center for Information Technology. So that it's not a procurement agency, but it must play a much bigger role in transformation and innovation. Government spends a lot of money on IT programs on annual basis. Now we need to then see how much of that will go to SMEs and then to the empowerment in companies in money. So we'll be coming back to yourself now with the CETA Amendment Act, that bill I mean, that deals with the repositioning of CETA to play this new role. We have also received an approval on the measure of CEMPEC and BBI. We are starting to implement that so that there is one safe infrastructure company that drives in safe infrastructure in investment. Now, on the monitoring of the integrated action plan, our departmental executive committee met on regular basis, and we have directed that as a standing item in our DAP agenda is this issue of the integrated action plan. The integrated action plan, as I indicated, first deals with historical issues, the very long historical issues that arose from the last audit, and new issues that are emerging from our legislation, because we must be able to foresee some of the challenges before they come. So this comes on a regular basis to the departmental executive committee, which takes place also regularly. In passing on the ICASA issue, we have involved ICASA with the bill. Before any bill can even go to the minister, what we do, we first workshop those bills with ICASA so that we can get a sense of issues. It is from the point of view of the implementing agency, which is ICASA. So we consult with ICASA before we go even to the minister. By the time we go to the minister, we are able to show that this bill, minister was even consulted with the regulator. So that is done in, because of the nature of work that ICASA is doing. When the minister is dealt with the issue of Instagram, Dilip Jimandini will deal with the consequence in management. On critical skills retention in the department, one of the questions that was asked, there are people who are in the department who have never taken a master in their lifetime in the department. And one has been asking, how is it possible for a person to be in one workplace for a period of 10 years, but this person has never taken a bursary with the department, because we give bursaries for people to train so that they can begin. We then have short-term courses, which are linked to the person's individual development, immediate needs of that person to be able to perform. So we're sitting now doing an audit and say, okay, how many, because it can't be a compliance issue, chapter, whereby someone says, I'll do a course in management. But when the year starts, then that does not happen. So in the next DEC, we'll also have a presentation on this issue of whether people have taken the opportunities that they said they were going to train. Now, the chief audit executive will quickly deal with the why we didn't audit the transfer. But I need to say that the person in question was not there yet. Obviously, it takes responsibility for what happened, but it would be answering from a point of view of what we're going to do going forward. Now, overall, the projects that we did not achieve in the last year are still part of the annual performance plan. And honorable members will see when we present quarter 1, 2, 3 reports that we have made the progress on those issues. So we'll flag them out so that when we come to do the quarter reports, we are able to also deal with that. And then to the issue of, I'll then maybe defer to the minister again on the issue of startup, minister before the CFO and the DG deal with the HR issue.
I thought I would defer that to last. thank you. We are making progress, actually, on the leadership of now shared by the minister and the president. That has helped because we meet quite frequently. In our last meeting, we met before December, we gave certain instructions because we were worried about meeting the deadline. We identified the risk last year and the risk mitigation section. What came in our
third meeting this year was that there's something called financial close in December. There are no transactions which are made without exemption from Treasury. And so that also put us on a thumbnail. The critical things which were needed for SWAPO's success is to open the account. That has been delayed because we need certification, we need authorization, we need from the managing department. But SAFA is working much closer now with the court office and they are making progress on that. On the issue of, because that's a special account, that's the first thing. The main purpose is to reduce the people who get cash payments. Because it is risky, that's where robberies are, it is very costly. The transaction for paying through cash is very, very, very high compared to those who are paying through financial institutions like banks or power shops and so on. So there are about 3 million beneficiaries who are getting cash payment every month. And the aim was to try over the next few years to reduce that as quick as possible to below 2 million, 1.9 million, and then pressure the cases out so those people can't really operate any bank account. So that's a big attempt, but at the same time, we have to be very careful about those because they are the most vulnerable. So that work is being done. The engagement with banks to open affordable bank accounts is going on so that you can transfer the money to them directly to their accounts. But then when they had a meeting with them in December, the report it was now that they're scared of Competition Commission that they can't take that decision as a collector. But they were referring to larger accounts which are still more expensive than what post office is giving and than what SAFA is requiring. So currently it's only the post office which is still more affordable. But we'll utilize those and phase them out as we are getting more and more access to people opening the account. The other delay was about card production. Because it was about specification which has been done now so that we can place the order. That's what was held by the financial close in December. I think we're making progress. So that as people go to once they produce the card, as people go to their pension point, then they are issued the new card. The new applicants are issued the new card. You must remember the current card which is used by Discover CPS or whatever, we extended it for its validity for a year. It was expiring in December last year. So they are still valid because people draw with those things until they are transferred. So there's going to be a lot of phasing in and changing of the card because anyway we needed to change of that for the beneficiaries. So that is on track. Those processes can be finished by March. The only challenge is now how do we transfer these things from the current service provider to the post office. That's what is going to require some transition so that we don't cause undue suffering to the beneficiary. The part of the this transitional arrangement, that's not about issuing cards or rolling them out, but to make sure that we can also do direct payment to those who got bank accounts. That has been done. We are piloting this thing, but we just don't do these things in the last moment. We started a small amount in December. We increase now in January, we're going to continue to increase, but we as government can also pay directly into the account of the beneficiaries, not to this firefighter. So those are the things, I think those which are trying to get direct payments is on the order of 5 million beneficiaries, which is quite significant, if I'm correct. So the confusion which has happened now in the media is about this request for extension. The extension is supposed to be for the handover, the proper handover, so that we don't cause that to harm. The only extension which we requested is that because it's not part of what was granted to SACO, cash payment system. We're not granted that function by SACO. They need to appoint a new service provider. Quite clearly, that's why it's going to be delayed, because it involves the service providers, the security companies, and these mobile ATMs. And now, the challenge which we have is that they sort of locked this thing to each other. So it's going to be long for any other service provider to come up with a viable business plan. So that's what was being extended. As you know, we report to the Constitutional Court, the IEC, Minister Fadere, both there on our behalf, me, the experts. We are also trying to comply with the directives of the court and the report of the experts. So in all our meetings, we try and do all those things. So we're catching up with compliance and making sure that we do take into account what the Committee of Respect are saying, and also making sure that we meet our deadline of the 31st of March. So with the extension, in the last meeting, it was clearly said that the technical advisors who are part of the ISB support technical team must work with the science so that we make a proper submission. Because not just writing a letter, there's a procedure for tabling any amendment or extension. So that's what was asked. We've not received a report yet how they actually conducted it. The message we're really pushing is that we're very happy to report periodically to parliamentary committees, not just the National Assembly, both houses. And that's what I would suggest, so that we didn't come here to pay for this place, that it can be arranged, because we said we can't just report scope. We account to the parliamentary committee. Scope is for financial expenditure, public. Because this is a huge problem, but we did the most scope because they were also concerned. It's a matter of concern to every citizens of this country. Are we going to be able to do this way? From where we see from our side, SACO is catching up. We're delayed by not receiving the specifications on time. We are now catching up. We're getting those things. We are starting to produce the cards. We're delayed almost by 2 weeks, but we can still meet some of the March deadline. We're working with some of the service providers of the post office to increase their production. Pascal Richard, who are resolved on the issue of their accounts. So we are asking for extension on the cash payment. But remember, there are about 17,000 grants, which are paid, 17 million grants a month, paid to about 11 million beneficiaries. Who collect, but some of them collect for the children. We really think it's doable and we are on track, and but we're going to need the communication escalated, particularly the party representatives, because they think we've got conditions. In the last meeting, we said we need to summarize the outcome of the meeting so that we can issue to everybody who counselor, because we're going to need everybody to assist us with communication. We also go on radio talk shows. They are very helpful. You as MPs, we have got studios here, which reach a lot of community radio stations. You can also help us with communication, but we have got many voices, one message. So we ask the GCIF to produce just speaking notes so that we can circulate to key stakeholders who can assist us. The message we are trying to say is that come 1st of April, people will continue getting their pay. There are new systems which are being developed, but the transition should be felt by the front end. It must be done at the back end, the organization we are doing. So it doesn't affect the person who says what is going to demand. I really hope that once this is done, and maybe create within the space of Parliament a time to brief SOP, because SOP is critical. You liaise with the provinces. You are in a better position to liaise with the local government, because we have got representatives of local government in the SOP. We don't have in the national assembly. So that would be my idea, that you get a proper brief and the briefing note on a regular basis by our department. Then the social development, we report to social development committees so that they also kept on board, because we're going to need everyone to communicate. We are also picking up some of the things which done wrong by the current incumbent, where they are continuing to produce more cars and forcing our people to use their cars and so forth. They are on an aggressive recruitment, where you say they should have scaled up. The Minister of Social Development is addressing that together with us, because that's not correct. Because that will create a lot of dependency. We are trying to come out of that car, of those cars, because they are. That's where you get people being led into these schemes of airtime, these schemes of funeral policies, which the department is trying, because we do want our elderly and vulnerable to have these funeral policies. The Department of Social Development has developed a plan to pay directly for those things out of the grant of the person. But there is no deduction along the way. So those are some of the things we are engaging on, but I'm just pleading, because I really came here not to say that we can come back to you as a committee, or come to you as a department with a full brief and for speaking of. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Do you want to follow on? Through your chairperson, Mr. Minister.
There's a perception and debate. If you could get this breakdown of the progress that the post office is making, right now the perception out there is as though SAFA does not want to work with the post office. That is the perception out there. And now with the issues of white monopoly capital in the air, so on and so forth, it really creates anxiety amongst the beneficiaries. And those of us now who are full surgery, without this information that you just gave us, there are those who have been paid cash, there are those who get money through the banks, and so on and so forth. If the message could be packaged in such a way that the people out there know, one, that SASA is not refusing to work with the post office, two, that to date significant progress has been made, 3, by 31st of March, there is a lot that the post office will be able to do. I think that would be reassuring enough through you, and that will be the community out there just needs to know that there is a transition and good progress is being made. Then from our constituency offices, we can then also reinforce that message. Thank you.
I was going to immediately get after the Honourable Minister, because you have summed up very, very eloquently to say you'll help us with speaking notes. We should have both councillors and us, and two, you will have periodic reporting back to us so that you are up to speed as to what is happening. So the point raised by my honourable member will be definitely covered if we all get the speaking note without even responding to the honourable minister. Thank you.
Just to add one thing, I think it's what you say, that capacity is that they is working together, because you must remember, we are doing this as a post office to assist PASA, and we are just doing this thing, putting this system for them so they can be capable, because the step of the PASA Act, they must be capable after that year. We'll operate this thing for them, those which have given us, and then give it back to them in 5 years, if they can move on. But let me commit here, we will prepare this, you know, just as we can with the technical team, just as the DG, the planning and so on, not just our way, but we need our technical team just to give us those teaching notes to assist the committee to further, and I'm already committed to the periodic briefing to the committees of both houses of parliament. I think that's why it keeps coming up. If we can see the show that we don't lose it. I don't want to come like the answer that we didn't circulate for this. But I still have to have commitment for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My promise not to be long. I just, Minister, on this spectrum, MOE and all this, I appreciate your views from this partner. I've been trying to read up on this in anticipation of this welcoming to the NCC. I think later this year or by the end of this year it might come to us. The immediate problem that I have is with what you said now, it made me think. WON by 2027, 2018 might be completed. So it gives us about 10 to 11 years. Now, with technology, things change all the time. In terms of 4G and 5G accessibility, if given the spectrum, I'm of the opinion that the current ones can do it now. And that can give access to most of the rural communities. It's also economic development now. So if we keep this for another 10 years, we are already almost behind with the world in terms of fast internet. We're one of the slowest in the world, let me say that. Fast internet and accessibility, especially in rural areas. So in our quest, that I understand now, in our quest to transform the sector, because I think that's the basic principle behind it, you want to transform the sector, we're actually not doing anything in terms of broad-based economic empowerment, because internet access, faster internet access, cheaper internet access, data for all. For me, it means economic freedom to those people. And if we wait for another 10 years, and keep the spectrum, you know. I think of the term quickly while I'm talking to you, expropriation of spectrum. It's simple what it means. Expropriate the spectrum, take it back, hold on to it, the guys that are currently there to develop our economy in terms of 4G, 5G, and who knows what G's will come in 3 years' time. You know how it works with this thing. And in 10 years' time, we want Boeing to accelerate and fast track. We won't be able to actually fast track. By that time, those people in rural areas, especially in our country, are so far behind in terms of this infrastructure that you actually do more harm to them in terms of broad-based black economic empowerment, because that's actually, you look at the masses first before you look at the few individuals that will benefit from woe. It might be 10, 20, and I support transformation in the sector. I think they didn't do anything in terms of transformation. But I don't think it's the best way to transform it. I don't think you need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just have that view, Minister, but in that sense, I think it's discussions that we will still have in the NCOP in anticipation of the legislation that's coming to us, but I just feel a bit uncomfortable in terms of that. So if the department from time to time can brief us and convince, you know, about this legislation, I'll be happy to sit in and listen. Thank you, Chair.
Yes,
thank you, Gigi, the SME strategy and the work to return by SME approved by the cabinet chamber. Can a copy of that be given to the commission, please? Secondly, Minister, if you can just answer briefly this time. The Post Bank, is it fully operating? Not when is it called a fully operating? Secondly, is it capitalized? Has it got enough capital? Lastly, do they get their license? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can we give over? I don't know whether the Minister will answer you later on, if you can conclude with your outstanding thing, because that is not part of the agenda, but however, that is thing that is outstanding, and we need to review our work for the couple of months left over, and we need to prioritize some things that we need to consult within our work, and I think that is one of the issues. Thank you. Over to you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I was left with two issues. I'll quickly dispose of them. The one issue deals with the misstatement in our financial statement. That arose because when we do a transfer, it must be recorded on the website. Now, if we transfer to the post office on the other side must say what that is, and I must also say in our financial. Now, if we don't speak to each other, we're going to have a situation whereby the post office, for example, will say this is it, and then will say something different. So what we've done was given the CFO an authority to engage with the entities to know what they're going to say on the other side, so that we agree on how we call the transfer that would have taken place. So we agreed to resolve that. On consequence management is quite easy. That we have introduced a statement because there was always a question as to when there's an infringement, who charges people? Is it HR or the branches concerned? Now we've clarified that because that was giving a paralysis, the branches saying waiting for HR to do something and HR saying the branches must act. So it is now understood that the managers concerned, because they are the first to know what has happened in their branches, must be the ones who initiate that process. And all what HR does is to facilitate that process. Lastly, there was a question of how long does it take to start that process. But what we have said at DAC is that as soon as the manager gets to know that there is any infringement, the process must start. There is no, because it's only a due process that can vindicate people. When you start a process, you are not saying that people are against you, you are allowing them an opportunity to represent themselves. So we have also feedback as to who initiates the process and what is the role of the HR to avoid paralysis in the system. And lastly, Chairperson, let me make a comment on the one by saying that. The one will be established by companies that are already in the industry. These are companies that have built networks over a period of time. It will not be formed only of companies who don't know what is going on in the industry. We have seen public statements by some of the big companies going out in public and issuing press statements to say that we want to be part of the wireless open access network. So, if that is the case, it can take 10 years for companies that have been in the industry, that are practicing and operational now, to build in this network. So just wanted to depart this. And also, another quick one. The postbank has 8 billion in its account. 5 billion is the bolster's money. 3 billion is its own money. Now, if you look at the work that was in the post office has been given for this transfer grant, it's mainly around the postbank. It's mainly around the work of the postbank. Meaning that if there is a requirement for investment, the postbank will simply use its own money to invest so that it can provide the services that are required by staff. So even in a situation whereby the post office may be having financial challenges, the core of what we're supposed to provide on our time lies with the post bank, which is adequately liquefied in terms of the money. So that also is clear. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that will conclude the questions from our side.
As to by when do we think we will have fewer demands. Thank you, Chair. The vacancy rate, the 50% was then, but now the current vacancy rate is 4%, and we, in the new, the few weeks to come, in the next 2 weeks, because we are currently shortlisting, we'll be having interviews, and the percentage will be far lower than that here. We have managed to reduce it significantly.
Okay, thank you very much. I think, Minister, on the policy issue, I'm glad that you're saying and you already reported that it's fully functioning. But the excitement around this thing was exactly because of the loans, the lenders to our people. Struggling to get the current institution. And that for me is a concern. Thank you.
We are concerned. We did submit everything to. Is that correct?
If there's something that we can do to
finalize the best. Yeah, we'll have to wait for the regulator to finalize the next. We are hoping that we'll really close this thing by last financial, by December. Unfortunately, we have to wait for those, because we are right, Chairperson. The post office has got no intention to land residents. But we believe if they land, their rate will be to lower the cost of living, because for our people, they need also small loans. 20,000 pay in 6 months and so on, but if this is a high rate, it just kills our people. It's still that effort we're putting. The only challenge we had, we're hoping that the National Treasurer was going to put an amendment in the Bank Act. It is not critical, but the governor of the Reserve Bank did indicate to us last year that there is a technical amendment which was not done to align the Companies Act and the Bank Act. It's a short amendment which talks about public companies. And we discussed, we agreed, but I think their legislative process is going slow. That may be one of, but I'm not saying it's only cause of the delay, because they saw that they can't breach their own law. They like those laws to be aligned. They fully understand. But we were in National Treasury, there was an agreement. Just that the process is a little bit slower. Understandable, because also National Treasury is dealing with the challenges we face in the economy now. But we hope that all those things were almost 3 months behind our own time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Sitting in the finance committee, you've asked a question at finance committee, when are you, the post bank going to be licensed? According to them, they are waiting for documents from yourself, so I don't know what they're doing. That's why they are there, thank you.
Thank you.
Can we proceed to a listing?
Can I see if the members went through it? Have I mentioned? 15.
Oh, my God. Thank you.